Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Who is ready to get cryptified tonight? I know I am. My virtual hand is up in the air, high, like in a teacher's classroom. If you have a scary story you would like to submit, email it to me, zachbabytv@gmail.com. Now, scoot that lawn chair just a little bit closer to that fire. Toast up those beautiful buns of yours, and let's get spooky. A possible encounter in Georgia. My buddy from high school has a 1,000-plus acre farm about an hour and a half south of Atlanta. There are all types of small and large buildings, barns, and cabins all over the property. The main spot we like to hang out at is down this dirt road from the main property to a separate piece of land that we called the river property, as there is a cabin. About 500 yards from that cabin is the Flint River. Now, when you come down to the river, the whole bank is sand covered like a beach, and there's a fire pit where we all hang out at with some chairs. The river itself is a typical South Georgia river, dark, muddy, slow moving, almost like a lake, it's so calm most of the times, and wide enough to the other side that no one in our friend group, or anyone we've ever known for that matter, can throw a rock onto the opposite bank, at most, the middle of the river with a baseball-sized rock. This is important for later. It was January 3rd, 2018. We went down to his farm to hang out with some friends as New Year's had just passed. Harrison, who has the farm, his buddy Tucker, and I down at the river about 6 p.m. to midnight. All the while, we have a huge fire roaring and have been drinking, shooting guns earlier when it was still light, and blasting music. At midnight, we decide to go back to the main property to get some more food and more drinks. 3 a.m. rolls around, and Harrison and I decide we wanted to go back to the river for a bit. Tucker stays as he's already passed out. We load up the back of the Gator with a bunch of firewood to stock up the fire with when we get back to the river, because it has been bitterly cold that New Year's as far as Atlanta goes, and it was about 15 degrees with a full moon that night. We pull up to the river, kill the engine, hop out of the Gator, and we each throw on 2 logs onto the fire pit. As we are walking back to the Gator, we get the second batch. Less than 30 seconds after we killed the engine, we hear a slap and splash coming from the river. It sounded like a frickin' bowling ball was dropped from an airplane right into the middle of the river. The sound and force of the object slapping the water with the following sound of it sinking was so loud that right then, Harrison and I froze, and the look we gave each other was, that was no fish. Let me quickly say that both Harrison and I have spent our entire lives in the Georgia woods. We know everything from the sound of a raccoon walking versus an armadillo to what a squirrel climbing on bark sounds like compared to a bird on bark. The fact we instantly could see in each other's faces that we had no frickin' clue what made that sound scared both of us to the core in that instant. Everything following happens in the span of maybe 10 seconds. Immediately, we jump into action and I grab my spotlight and shine it onto the river. Sure enough, we see waves coming from the very center of the river. We were in shock. At this point, I say that I think something was thrown into the river. There's just no way that something was already in the water, like a fish making that kind of sound. Harrison had just gotten a handheld thermal imager for Christmas and had it on him that night. As I'm searching the bank and trees to see what could have caused what we had just heard with the spotlight, he is also scanning everything in sight with the thermal imager. He sees nothing. Absolutely nothing. At that exact moment, we are marveling that we cannot even see any footsteps on the bank, as we thought that some kids were messing around with us, maybe. And if they had walked down to the bank to throw the rock to mess with us, we would have at least seen their heat signatures from the footsteps in the cold ground. Suddenly, we hear the crash, snap, pop, like a silent truck just tore through the woods away from us onto the opposite side of the river, snapping and breaking branches and trees all the way until whatever it was gone and the woods were silent again. At that moment, the thought popped into my head that we might have been messed with by a Sasquatch. Harrison is the skeptic, so he didn't want to believe me, but we have went through the possible scenarios as to what had happened. It seemed more and more likely that my crazy theory may be in fact what had happened. After we sat there by the fire, after everything settled, we just couldn't shake it off from our heads. We sat, looking into the dark abyss of woods across the river, talking and ruling out every seemingly realistic possibility. After both of us coming to the conclusion that neither one of us could say what the hell had just happened, we felt even more terrified and decided it'd probably be a good idea for me to shoot off my 9mm into the river just to make us feel like we scared whatever it was off. We stayed only 10 more minutes at the river that night after it was all over. I'll walk you guys through what Harrison and I thought the possibilities were, and then I'll share what my theory is. First, we thought maybe it was an alligator gar. We know well that there are some 6 to 8 foot gar in the river, as we've seen them all the time when it's hot in the summer. But we both instantly knew it wasn't this, because gar aren't active at night, and especially not when it's 15 degrees and dead of winter. Second, was that maybe a branch fell out of a tree and landed right in the middle of the river. But that was easily ruled out, because the only tree that was hanging over the river was on our side, and only goes over the river maybe 10 feet, not anywhere near the middle of the river. And lastly, Harrison thought that some kids were messing with us that night, but of all possibilities, I personally think that it was the least likely. One, because even if a huge man was able to throw what we presume was a huge rock of approximate bowling ball size from the ground of it, in the middle of the river had to been right on the bank, we would have seen that heat signatures going up and down the bank, and probably on surrounding branches as heat is transferred from rubbing into it. But everything was cold everywhere we looked, so if something was thrown, it was from deep in the woods. Two, it was 3 a.m. on 1,000 acres of private property and 15 degrees. That doesn't make it impossible for kids or adults, but very unlikely in my opinion. And three, is that it never sat well with me, the idea of kids or anyone else for that matter, we're just going to mess with some guys across a river. It would make more sense if they would just call out with their voices trying to scare us, or maybe shoot a gun off in the air. But of all things, just throwing a rock and immediately leave? Just never seemed like a typical human behavior to me. But what do I know? So what do I think happened? Well, here's my crazy theory as someone who believes in Sasquatch. All the noise was made up until midnight, may have gotten a young teenage, if you will, squatch, willing to risk it and curious to check out what's going on from the safety across the river. We left a big fire burning when we left at midnight, so I would guess it probably came to watch the fire burn out. Hours later, Harrison and I appear, and immediately as we pull up, it throws a massive rock into the river from deep in the woods. Why we didn't see any footprints near the bank with the thermal imager? I would guess its motive for throwing the rock at us is partly to having fun and mess with us, because all primates like to mess with things. And second was to say, I see you. These are my woods. Be afraid. And honest to God, it worked like a charm. We pull up, it launches a rock into the river, dips out, and leaves us scrambling. If this had happened to anyone other than lifelong experienced Georgia woodsmen, I'm sure this would have been perceived as just a fish or branch breaking or altogether ignored and overlooked. But it didn't. It happened to people who camped, hiked, boated, fished, and hunted these woods their whole lives. Even to this day, even though he's still a skeptic, Harrison and I still marvel at the fact that whatever broke the water's surface that night clearly sounded like something outside the river getting thrown into it. To this day, both Harrison and I are more aware when we are in the woods, and we keep our eyes and ears peeled for the next time we encounter the unexplained. I'm sending you this short story because I felt like this is the place for it to be told. This is a true story that happened to me nearly 30 years ago in Southwest Arkansas. A lot of this story is a blur, but there's some key points that still to this day, nearly 30 years later, I still remember like it was yesterday. I lived in a small town called Folk. My friends and I were just wandering around in the woods near the creek. I was only 11 years old at the time. In our small little town, there really wasn't terribly too much to do. Going out into the woods was always the best excitement for us as kids growing up. I don't recall specifically why we were even out in the woods that day, probably just looking for some kind of some adventure or something of that nature. I just remembered we were walking along the creek, somewhere up ahead. We saw this large black figure hunched over by the water. It looked like some kind of animal was dishing out water with the palm of its hand and drinking from it. We stopped in our tracks when we first saw this figure up ahead. It was pretty far off, but still we could see it was some kind of animal being. We stopped in our tracks, amazed at what we were seeing somewhere up ahead. We crouched down behind some brush and just watched it. The thing wasn't making too much movement, aside from just scooping up some water from its palms. When all of a sudden, one of my friends, and I don't remember which one at this particular moment, coughed. That's when we noticed. The thing turned its head in our direction. Then, it started slowly standing up on its back two legs. That's when we figured out what exactly we were actually looking upon. It was the Bigfoot. Sasquatch. Whatever you want to call it. It stood up at least 7, maybe 8 feet tall. We were just kids, but still, this thing was a huge-looking monster. Its whole body was covered in fur. It was either black or a dark brownish color. Right then and there, we all screamed as we were all completely terrified seeing what was in front of us. The three of us screaming at the top of our lungs in total fright must have spooked this thing off because as soon as we did, we were just about ready to bolt ourselves. But this Bigfoot ran off into the brush, somewhere off on the right-hand side, disappearing behind some trees and bushes. Right then and there, we didn't have to say a word. All three of us ran as quickly as we could back through the woods, back onto the main dirt road. That was the scariest day in my entire life. We told our parents about it, of course. They didn't really believe us, but then again, this town does have its myths, so take it with a grain of salt. I haven't told this story for a really long time, but I figured maybe it's time. If you have any other questions, feel free to let me know. Like I said, I don't remember every little situation that happened, but that's primarily the story that I have to tell. I hope that you liked my story. About 10 years ago, I was camping with my family in northern West Virginia. I grew up here most of my life. I no longer reside in West Virginia as I have relocated to North Carolina. But back when I was in my early teenage years, it was all about girls and video games and things of that nature. I didn't really want to go camping, but it was something that my family kind of forced me to do at least twice a year. We were tent camping, as my father doesn't believe RV camping is truly called camping. So, we had the blow-up mattresses and had to deal with the outhouses to go to the bathroom. I wasn't complaining much. I would just rather stay at home. So, we were out there camping. We had already finished our dinner, just relaxing around the fire pit. I do remember my dad was drinking pretty heavily that night. My mom was just cracking jokes at him and myself and just enjoying the time together. Eventually, after my mom attempted to tell some scary stories, it was time to go to sleep. I used the excuse that I was tired, but realistically, I was just bored out of my mind. I remember sometime later, in the middle of the night, I was awoken to some weird sounds outside the tent. I was 14 years old at the time, and I had my own little single-person tent. My parents had a tent right beside me, but there was no way in hell I was going to share a tent with them. The sounds of footsteps, twigs, snapping, things like that. It was really hard to explain. One, it was quite a while back. Two, I couldn't see a thing. I was inside my tent just listening. Then, out of nowhere, I started hearing these groan-like noises. I was 50-50 on the whole situation. Half of me thought it was really something evil and nasty out there. The other half of me thought it was my dad trying to play a prank on me in the middle of the night in the woods. My dad's like that. That's when I called out to my dad.
Dad, I know it's you. Just stop it. You woke me up.
Silence. No laughter nor giggles coming from my parents' tent. The groans completely stopped at that point. All sounds ceased to exist. It was complete and utter silence at this point.
Dad, I know it's you. Just leave me alone, okay?
I said. Right after I said that, I saw this large shadow of someone walking near the fire outside my tent. It must not have been too long because the fire was still blazing outside. I could see the dancing reflection of the fire from inside the tent. That's when the curiosity got the better of me. I slowly unzipped my sleeping bag and crawled over towards the main entrance. I grabbed at the zipper to the door of the tent and slowly opened it a few inches to peek outside. When I first started peeking out, I was still groggily half asleep. I didn't see anything, but eventually, looking beyond the dancing fire, I saw this huge ape-like person, better known as a Bigfoot or Sasquatch. It was walking around slowly, curious, just looking around our stuff and things like that. It didn't seem to notice me, so I continued to watch it as quietly as possible without making any type of movements or sounds. It walked over by the picnic table and was scavenging through some of the chip bags and some of the meat containers. That's great. So my drunk of a father left the meat out. No wonder why this thing smelt everything. It was either him or a bear, I remember thinking to myself. And why in the hell didn't my parents hear any of this? This Sasquatch was not being utterly quiet. How was I the only one that got awoken by all this commotion? Either which way, I stood my ground and kept completely silent, just watching this big furry beast. I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe that the Bigfoot was actually a real thing. I always thought it was just a myth and legend from people. People from the South. People from somewhere other than here. I didn't think they were real. But lo and behold, this thing was real, and it was right in front of our tents. It started moving around some more. It started to walk a little closer in the tent's direction. My heart started to pound out of my chest, but still, I knew I couldn't make a sound. I didn't want it to know that we were inside these tents. It probably didn't have any idea that we were even here. Or did it? This thing isn't stupid, because it hasn't been caught in how many years? I thought to myself. Of course it knows that we're inside these tents. I'm sure it's not the first time it's come across some tents or people in general, period. That's when I started to freak out. What do I do? Do I scream? Do I look for a flashlight? Do I scream my parents' name? What do I do? Or do I do nothing and just sit here and watch? I chose the last option and just kept my mouth shut. Until it started walking towards my tent. Unaware if this thing actually saw me or not, this thing got at least 6 feet away from the entrance of my tent, and I screamed bloody hell.
I never screamed like that before. Sure, I've watched my fair share of scary movies, but this was real life. The thing instantly darted off into the woods, disappearing within seconds. My parents woke up, rushing out of their tent, heading to me to see if I was all right and what had happened. I wasn't making any sense at first. I was crying, mumbling, and huddled up in the corner of my tent, clutching my knees. My parents thought that I just saw some kind of bear. They didn't believe my whole Bigfoot theory. My dad went back into his tent, still half hungover, as usual. My mom slept with me the rest of that night in the tent, and we took off in the morning. I don't tell this story very often, as most people would probably just laugh it off and just say I'm crazy. But I did see a Bigfoot. They do exist. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the allegedly true Southern Bigfoot sightings tonight. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter. Oh yes, you do that. And you do it now.